There are four different parts or steps to this particular type of prayer. We usually go by the four Latin words that Saint Benedict used. Lectio, meditatio, oratio, and contemplatio. These words are almost English by simply adding an N, at least for the last three. Lectio means reading. A lectionary or lector would be two English words that are based on this particular root. Meditatio, by adding an N, we have meditation, and it refers to reflection or personal application of the spiritual reading. Oratio, by adding an N, we have oration, which means prayer, and this is our personal response to God's word that we have read and meditated upon. And finally, contemplatio, by adding an N, we have contemplation, which is that stillness of prayer that we have when we open ourselves to our intuitive function, our intuitive faculty, to try to discern any insights or inspirations that the Holy Spirit might wish to give us. So what we will do is I will explain each of these four steps of Lectio Divina, and then I will give you some examples of how we might use this particular type of prayer, and we will actually practice this particular type of prayer in at least one or two instances. The first step, Lectio, which means reading. And this is where we use our senses to either to hear or to read in a book something of God's Word. Ordinarily, this will be something from the Bible. However, we may wish to use secondary sources, some book that has been taken ideas from the Bible and applied them to our situation today. So any kind of spiritual reading would be this first step. But for the most part, it should be Scripture. We will use our sensing function then to try to get some new ideas, some new thoughts, some new insights regarding our relationship with God, regarding our relationships with our fellow human beings, regarding our relationship with ourselves. We use our sensing in reading or in listening to a sermon or some other word that will help us to get a better idea of God. So Lectio is to get in touch with the Word of God. What we have to realize is that prayer is, first of all, and primarily, listening. One of the mistakes that has been made in the past is to think of prayer exclusively as what we might say to God. But prayer is both listening to what God has to say to us, and then, secondly, what we would say to him in response. In that sense, prayer is always, or should always be, a dialogue. And in this dialogue, we should give God the first opportunity to speak to us. When we listen to God's word, we must make sure that we try to discern exactly what God is saying to us. What particular lesson or particular message does God wish to give to us? And here is why we then need to use the second step of meditation or reflection. In this particular second step of meditatio or meditation, we especially use our thinking faculty to try to make a personal application of the Word of God to our situation today. We reflect upon God's Word. We mull it over. We look at it from every possible angle to try to discern exactly what God is saying to us. In doing this, we must be careful not to use too many words. We must take just a small portion of the scriptures, perhaps one verse, two, three, five, or six, or at the very most, 10 or 12 verses. Now, this does not mean that we are going to find a personal message in every single verse in the Bible. We are fortunate if we can find personal messages in even as much as 1/10, 10% of the scriptures. And my recommendation is that we should make a list of our favorite scripture texts. Texts that have turned us on in the past. Texts that have helped us to get a deeper insight of God. Because once a scripture text becomes meaningful to us, we are able to return to that text again and again and again in order to find new meaning, new insights. These are the scripture texts that I like to call my aha verses. In other words, as I'm reading the scripture, I suddenly come across a verse or a particular passage of the scripture that really speaks to me. And I say, aha, I understand what it's saying. I realize what this is asking of me or telling me. And so we take these scriptures and we reflect on them. We mull over them. We try to discern as clearly as we can what God is saying to us. And then we go from that to the third step, which is called oratio, or oration. This is our personal response to God's Word. And in this particular part of Lectio Divina, we make use especially of the feeling function. This is the particular function that it personalizes, that is concerned about the personal relationships between God and ourselves or between ourselves and other people. So this is where we make a personal response to God's Word. When God speaks, He expects us to answer. This is one situation where silence does not give consent, ordinarily. That when God speaks, He expects us to say yes. When we say nothing to God's Word, this is tantamount to saying no. And this is really what we mean by sin. Sin is saying no to God's will, no to God's Word. Whereas love is saying yes to whatever God is saying to us. It's responding with an affirmative answer. Yes, I will do it. Or whatever else it is that God is saying to us. Now, these two steps of meditation and oration can flow backward and forward. We can meditate for a little bit, and then we can respond with the oration. Then we can go back and meditate again, or even go back and read the whole thing again, and try to come to a deeper level of understanding, and then again we respond. So this whole Lectio Divina is a dialogue. God speaks, we respond. God speaks, we respond. Now, in this response to God, we are able particularly to make use of those four different types of prayer that the Baltimore Catechism referred to. Adoration, contrition, thanksgiving, and supplication. in order to help us remember this, it was very often just put in the word acts, A-C-T-S, adoration or praise to God, contrition or sorrow for our failure to respond to God, thanksgiving for the many blessings that God has given us, and supplication or petition for all the things that we need. Now, all of these are a part of our personal response to God's Word. And in that sense, acts or adoration, contrition, thanksgiving, and supplication is only the second half of prayer. It fails to emphasize that the first half of prayer, and therefore the most important part of prayer, is opening our minds and hearts to listen to what God has to say to us, opening our whole being to God's Word. And only after that should we make our response. One of the ways that will help us to make our response to God's Word is to use what is called a spiritual journal. To use an ordinary notebook, for example, to write down what we think God is saying to us in these words of Scripture, and then to write down our response so that the whole dialogue can be written out. This helps us to keep our mind on the topic of the prayer. Whereas when we just do it in our imagination, very often our mind wanders very, very quickly. The fourth step of Lectio Divina is called contemplation or contemplatio. And here is where we make use of that fourth function of intuition. And very often this requires simply to be still and know that I am God, as Psalm 46 verse 11 states it. It's just to be quiet in the presence of God. Quiet reflection. Openness to any new inspirations that the Holy Spirit might wish to give us. An attempt to catch on the fly any insights that might come to us. Any intuitions. So this part of prayer probably is the most difficult part for people in the Western culture of our own country as well as others. And we just don't know how to use silence during prayer time. And so it's something that may seem to be a waste of time to us as we just be quiet in the presence of the Lord. But it's something that can be very powerful and very valuable and with a certain amount of practice, and therefore should never be neglected when we are using Lectio Divina. So these then are the four steps of Lectio Divina. Reading, meditation or reflection, personal application, then personal response, the oration, and finally just being still to contemplate God and the Word of God, and to be open to any new insights or inspirations that the Lord might wish to give us. In the Gospels, we have examples of Jesus using all four of these steps of Lectio Divina. For example, in the fourth chapter of Luke, we are told that when Jesus returned to the hometown of Nazareth, that he opened the book of Isaiah and read to them a passage, and then he reflects upon it. He makes a personal application to himself. We also find that Jesus responds to God. For example, in the 11th chapter of St. Matthew's Gospel, verse 25, we have Jesus responding, "Father, Lord of heaven and earth, To you I offer praise, for what you have hidden from the learned and the clever, you have revealed to merest children. Yes, Father, it is true. You have graciously willed it so. Everything has been given over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son but the Father, and no one knows the Father but the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wishes to reveal him. And of course, we have other instances where Jesus spent whole nights in prayer, or even the 40 days in the desert. And we can be quite sure that much of that time was spent in contemplation, just being still and being in the presence of his Heavenly Father. The best way to understand this type of prayer, as well as the other types of prayer, is to actually practice it, to give you examples of how it might be done. And so I'm going to use chapter 8 of Romans. I would recommend that you would get your Bible at this time and open it to the 8th chapter of Romans. I'm going to be using a couple of translations. One of them is by J.B. Phillips, the New Testament in Modern English. I personally think that J.B. Phillips has made the best English translation of the epistles of Paul of any translation that I know. But I will also use the New American Bible translation of Romans 8. I would recommend in using this first step of Lectio Divina, the reading, the Lectio, that you would have several different translations of the Bible open before you, and that you would read these different translations, because you can get a much broader understanding of what is being said in these words when you get the different synonyms that different translators might use. We're going to begin with verse 14 of the 8th chapter of Romans. And so I will read it first, the Lectio. All who follow the leading of God's Spirit are God's own children. Now, we are not meant to relapse into the old slavish attitude of fear. But you have been adopted into the very family circle of God, so that you can say with a full heart, Abba, Daddy, Father. The Spirit Himself endorses our inward conviction that we really are the children of God. Now think what that means. If we are His children, we share His treasures. All that Christ claims as His will belong to all of us as well. Yes, if we share in His sufferings, we shall certainly share in His glory. In my opinion, whatever we may have to go through now is less than nothing compared with the magnificent future God has planned for us. The whole of creation is on tiptoe to see the wonderful sight of the children of God coming into their own. It very often helps if we read this first part a couple of times just to get the true meaning. And so let me read it again, but now from the New American Bible, which more or less says the same thing, but in different words. All who are led by the Spirit of God are sons and daughters of God. You did not receive a spirit of slavery leading you back into fear, but a spirit of adoption through which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself gives witness to our spirit that we are the children of God. But if we are children, we are heirs as well, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if only we suffer with him so as to be glorified with him. I consider the sufferings of the present to be as nothing compared with the glory to be revealed in us. Indeed, the whole created world eagerly awaits the revelation of the children of God. We make a personal application. This is the second step, the meditatio. We reflect upon it. We use our mind, our intellect, to try to discern as clearly as we can the full meaning of these words of Paul. For example, we realize that Jesus used this term Abba as an affectionate term that he used in prayer when he spoke to God. Paul is telling us that we have the same right to use this very affectionate term in speaking to God. And we might say also that since there is no sex in God, he is neither male nor female, it's just as well to use daddy or mama when we address God. Our divine mother, our divine mama, our divine mom. Because that word Abba is the type of word that was used by small children in addressing their parent. And so we have to realize that God fully exhausts all of the qualities both of fatherhood and motherhood. And any particular term that will help us to realize this closeness to God that he wants us to have is certainly appropriate to be used here in time of prayer. We are reminded that if we wish to be co-heirs with Jesus Christ, that we must be willing to suffer just as Jesus did. There is this provision there that we will be his heirs only if we suffer with him. But then Paul goes on to emphasize that the sufferings of this world are as nothing compared with the glory that will be revealed to us. That we will receive back so much more than anything that God is going to require of us or ask of us in the way of suffering. We reflect then on this intimacy that God wishes to have with us, that this is a relationship that is just as close as the most perfect relationship between a loving parent and a loving child. And so, as we reflect on this, we just very naturally go into the third step of oration. This is our personal response to God's word. And this is accomplished by trying to activate such feelings as love, gratitude, joy, trust, generosity, dedication, faithfulness, commitment, sorrow and regret for our failure to appreciate this relationship in the past, asking God's help so that we will better appreciate it and make use of it in the future. So all of those different types of prayer that we call adoration or praise, contrition, thanksgiving, and supplication, they're all a part of this third step. And to help us, we go back and perhaps read again In my opinion, whatever we may go through now is less than nothing compared with the magnificent future God has planned for us. We need to realize this, especially when we are having a hard time, when we are undergoing some form of suffering or another. Having reflected on this for some time and responded as best we can, then we get to the fourth step of contemplation, of just stopping, closing our eyes, and centering our thoughts into the presence of God, and just listening, just being open. This, of course, is a proper place to make use of centering prayer, the type of prayer that Father Basil Pennington and Father Thomas Keating of Spencer Abbey, the Trappist monastery in Massachusetts, that they have made popular in recent years. Their suggestion is that we focus our attention on the presence of God within us, perhaps in our heart. We might think of it as a flame of God's presence, the Shekinah of the Old Testament. And then we just use some word or phrase and just gently under our breath to repeat it over and over again. This is a very good way of beginning at least this fourth step of contemplation. Thanking you, Lord. Thank you, God. Have mercy on me, God. Or whatever else you might wish to use, some phrase or some word, in order just to center yourself in the presence of God. But then there should come a time when we just stop speaking and just be quiet. There's a story in the life of St. John Vianney, the patron saint of parish priests. There was an old man in his parish at Ars in southern France that used to spend hours every day in church, never using a prayer book or a Bible, but just kneeling there or sitting there. And John Vianney, the pastor, was curious as to just what he was doing. And so he called him in one day and he asked him, What do you do? You're here for so long a time. The old man said, I don't do anything. I just look at God and he looks at me. Now that is an example of contemplation, just looking at God and allowing God to look at us. Or that text from Psalm 46, verse 11, be still and know that I am God. If we find that the time gets very distracted, we just gently put ourselves back into the presence of God. Or if we wish, we will go back to the scripture reading and read it over again and go through the whole process again of trying to get a deeper insight into what it means and a personal response. And then once again, just to be quiet and to know that the Lord is present to us and we are to Him. How long should we spend in such a type of prayer? My recommendation is, as a minimum, 30 minutes. Preferably 45 minutes or a whole hour. If you're not accustomed to doing this type of prayer, you may want just to start with 30 minutes. But the hope would be that you will gradually develop this practice and become accustomed to these four steps and will be able to lengthen it. If you are using this particular type of prayer for 30 minutes, just by way of rough estimation, you might spend the first 3 or 4 minutes reading and rereading, perhaps several different translations of the scripture text that you have chosen. And then probably as much as 10 minutes on the second step of the meditatio, the meditation or personal reflection, of trying to personalize the message, trying to discern what do these words mean to me? What is God saying to me in these words? And then perhaps another 10 minutes in the dialogue, where you may go back to read it, this text again, and to reflect on it a little bit, but primarily thinking of this personal response, of how you are going to respond to this word of God. And then finally, perhaps the last 5 minutes, just trying to be still, just to rest in the arms of the Lord and try to be open to any particular thoughts that He might wish to give us. If you find that 5 minutes or 6 minutes to be too long, you may want to go back and read the text again and just very briefly go through the meditation, the personal reflection, and a short personal response, and then once again back into the silence. It is very helpful for this particular type of prayer to be successful that you will have chosen the particular text that you are going to use for Lectio Divina before the actual 30 minutes or 60 minutes or whatever time you will give to it. My recommendation is that, if at all possible, this particular type of prayer should be done early in the morning, as soon as you awaken, or very soon after you awaken, when your mind is clear of distractions. Now, this may mean that you will have to go to bed earlier so that you can get sufficient sleep to get up in time to do this type of prayer before the other activities of the day begin. If you should be able to have that half hour of prayer in the morning, my recommendation is that the night before, perhaps the last thing before you go to bed and go to sleep, would be to take your Bible and just leisurely read through some different passages, perhaps take one of your favorite books of the Bible, or always, of course, to use most of your meditations on the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And perhaps read several chapters. You know, take 10 or 15, 20 minutes reading several chapters and look for one of those aha verses or several of those aha verses that seem to speak to you. Or if you're using one of the epistles of Paul, I would recommend both Romans and 1 Corinthians, as well as 2 Corinthians and Philippians, as examples of very good books of the Bible that you will find many, many key phrases or verses that you can use for this Lectio Divina. Another good book of the New Testament is the Epistle of James and also the First Epistle of John. Just so many things there that you can find a personal application to yourself. The point is, you make your decision the night before as to what particular verses you're going to use for your Lectio Divina the next morning. Or perhaps you're going to use Lectio Divina sometime later in the day. Fine. Still, make your choice of what verses you will use the night before. In this way, you will not waste time the next morning or whenever you do sit down to do your meditation by trying to decide what you're going to meditate on. Now, it's always possible that you will change, that some other text comes up before you start your Lectio Divina that seems more appropriate. But unless that happens, always try to have a text ready to be used when the Lectio Divina begins. The place where you have your meditation is important. Try to find as quiet a place as possible. And that's why early morning, perhaps before the others in the house arise or get going, would be the best time. As far as posture goes, ordinarily, this type of prayer is best done by when you're sitting down in a comfortable chair, but one that where you can sit up and not one where you're going to lie back and perhaps go back to sleep. But in general, the prayer posture should be comfortable and not a distraction to us. In this way, you can give your whole attention to the prayer time and not be distracted by the pain or the tension that would come from some position of the body that is not comfortable. Another way of thinking of these four steps of Lectio Divina, a very convenient way to remember, is you might think of them as the four R's. Read, reflect, respond, rest. You read a portion of the scriptures or some other book. If you find some particular book that gives you some good insights into your relationship with God or with others, anything that would help you to have a better relationship with God as well as with those people who stand in the place of God. As the Lord says, what you do to the least of these, you do it unto me. So you may read either the primary source of the scriptures or some secondary source. Then you reflect. This is the personal application. You try to say, what is this word of God saying to me? You use your thinking, your rational process of reasoning to try to arrive at some conclusions as to what is the personal message from God to you. And then you respond, personal response. You use your heart, especially there, in making this personal response. And then finally, you just rest in the Lord, or rest in the word of the Lord, so that whatever insights that might come to you, well, it would be good to write them down. If not, just relax in perhaps some little word or phrase or even the Lord's Prayer, to just to recite that very slowly several times as you come to the end of your Lectio Divina. For some people, it helps during the period of contemplation to put on some background music